Turn with me this morning, please, to 2 Peter chapter number 1. I'd like to have you remember in prayer. Pray for Danny Prater, if you would. He's home now, recovering from infection that happened after his appendectomy. Pray for little Dalton Rivera. He's out of the hospital and home now, and we're thankful for that. Also pray for a lady that's visited our church a number of times, Marvine Luke, and pray for her. She's in the hospital, and we'd really appreciate your prayers. 2 Peter chapter number 1, we're going to look at verse number 3 through 11. And as you're there, let me share with you another verse. In Matthew, excuse me. Wow, that got my attention. In Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 19, it says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus told his disciples that they were to follow him. In Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28, Jesus said to the people there surrounding Jerusalem, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. He says, "And I'll give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls." He went on to describe how that his yoke was easy and his burden is light. The idea of there in Matthew chapter 20 or chapter 11, verse 28 and 29 is the Jesus is giving the impression that there is an ox yoke. And we've probably all seen the pictures over in the old land, how that there'd be an ox, actually two oxen together, and this wooden bow that would tie them together. It was called an ox yoke. Jesus is telling his disciples this: "I want you to yoke up with me. I want you to yoke up with me." He said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Child of God, listen to me. What the world offers to you and the heartache and the burden that they want you to carry is so heavy. Right. And it'll destroy a person's life. Right. And yes, the Christian life, it has a weight to it. There is a yoke to bear, but it is nothing compared to the yoke of sin. And thank God, when the tried and the proven master is yoked up with us, and we walk beside him through life, I'm here to tell you, he carries the load. And he is the one that pulls the weight. So that's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, we ask and pray that you administer to us by your word and through your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you do a great work in our lives. Lord, the greatest work ever to be done is the work of salvation. And Lord, I pray that those that are not saved, Lord, I pray that they would repent of their sins and trust You by faith. Lord, those of us that are saved, I pray, Lord, that we would determine from this day forward to walk a closer life with Thee. Guide and direct now. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. The Bible states when we get saved, Christ makes us a new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the Bible says, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Scripture states in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." I've been accused of being a little bit too narrow and a little bit too straight. My response to that is, do you want me to be broad? Do you want me to be wide? If we read the Scripture, we see where that ends up. We find here in this passage of Scripture in Matthew 7, verse number 13 and 14, here Christ describes the way to life and the way to destruction. He said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way." I want you to stop and think about that. The way. What is it talking about when it talks about the way? I think it's talking about the course of our life. There's a course of life that men take. And some men take the wide course, the easy path. And the Bible says that that path ends up with destruction. But there's another way. It's described as a straight gate. It's described as a narrow way. It is described as a way that leadeth unto life, and there's few that really find that way. David said in Psalm 40 and verse number 2, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a solid rock, and established my goings." He established my goings. The course of my life, the Lord, when He saved me, He put direction in my life. He established my goings. When David spoke of how the Lord established His goings, he spoke of His road of life. When the Lord pulls us up out of the horrible pit, when He pulls us out of the miry clay, He places us in a place that is filled with peace and joy. You see, when He pulls us out of the miry clay, and He pulls us out of the horrible pit, it is describing a way of life. I remember full well what my way of life was like before I got saved. I remember the things that I was involved in. I remember the things that I allowed myself to do. And I'm telling you what, the end thereof are the ways of death. But when Jesus Christ saved me, He made me a new creature in Jesus Christ. He pulled me up out of the miry clay. He pulled me out of that horrible pit. He established my goings. He set my feet on a solid rock. And now there is a different direction for my life. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. That horrible pit and that miry clay is talking about a certain way of life. He describes that as a low road. He describes that as a low road. But when He pulls us up out of the miry clay, and He puts our feet on the solid rock, and He establishes our going, now that one that was in the horrible pit and was down and stuck in the mire of sin, now he is freed from all of that. And now he is on the rock. And that rock is Christ. And now he's on a higher plane. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. We ought to be searching for that higher ground in our Christian life. And I'm here to tell you, Christian, listen to me. If you're saved, God has pulled you out of the miry clay. God has established your goings. He has set your feet on a solid rock. And now God wants you as a child of God to go ahead and live and take the higher road in life and not the lower road where once you came. God has a high road for the Christian. It is filled with peace. It is filled with divine promises. It is filled with His divine presence. You know, the world also has a road for the Christian. And the world wants to do everything that the world can do to drag the Christian down, back down to the mire and the muck of a sinful life. If the world had its way, they would douse every bit of light, the light of God, in the Christian's life. You see, the world's road for the Christian is void of any peace. It is void of the promises of God. It is absent from the presence of God. The world's road is filled with pitfalls in life. There we find sorrow. We find regret. The road that the world wants the Christian to trod, there you're going to find sorrow and anguish of heart, bitterness and grief. I determined a long time ago when I got saved, I'm going to take the higher road of life. The world was ready to destroy me. Why in the world would, as a child of God, would I want to walk in the world? The high road seems to be chosen by few. But it is the road that I have chosen. And I've chosen that road because that's the road that our Savior walks. You see, the road that the world chooses for us is a road filled with many travelers. But remember this, misery loves company. And they desire for you to walk with them. The higher road is chosen by few. But it's chosen by our Savior. I challenge you today as a child of God, as a believer, take the high road. Don't take the low road from whence we came. Take the high road. And if you do, and if today you say, you know what, by the grace of God, as a child of God, I'm going to take the high road and I'm going to live for God in my life. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible promises you'll never be alone. The Bible promises that He will give you strength and guidance for every step of your way. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe that if we as God's people determine to strive together for the faith of the gospel, one of the things that we must do, we must determine in our life as a Christian, we're going to live above what the world desires for us. We're going to have to take the higher plane of life. We're going to have to determine when the Lord saved us, He brought us up out of that deep miry clay and He set our feet on a solid rock, and there I'm going to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I'd like to have you notice some things out of 2 Peter chapter number 1. And listen, today if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to live a sinless life and to go to the cross of Calvary and to shed His blood to be mocked and rejected of man, and to die in your place and in mine, that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ went to the cross in order for you to be saved from the penalty of your sin. And if you would repent of your sin and trust Christ by faith, the Bible says that He'll give us eternal life. But as I look out on the crowd, the majority of the people here probably have already trusted Christ as their Savior. At least they said they have. So primarily I'm speaking to you. But if you're not saved, I pray the Holy Spirit of God will speak to you about your need of Christ. Because you need to remember this. Heaven is real and hell is hot. Eternity is long. The price has been paid and you need to choose where you're going to spend eternity. But I want you to notice some things about the high life, the higher road that God has called every Christian to walk. I want you to notice in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and look at verse number 3. I want you to notice some characteristics of this road that God has called us as a Christian to walk. Number one, this road has everything that we would ever need. In verse number 3, notice what it says. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know, a lot of times Christians think, you know what? I'd be a Christian and I'd live for God, but there's so many things I'm going to miss in life. I'm here to tell you, the world has nothing over on the Lord. Amen? There is nothing that the world can offer you of any lasting satisfaction that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself cannot give you and give it more abundantly. The reason, the Bible tells us in John 10:10 that He's come to give us life and life more abundantly. I've heard people say, well, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and party and I'm going to go ahead and have my fun with all my lost friends because, after all, you know, when I go to hell, I'm just going to have a big party down there with all my friends. You are sadly mistaken. The Bible says that hell is a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, where there be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There is no buddy system in hell, and there is no parties that are going in hell. And we need to understand today that hell is a place where God is going to punish the wicked and the sinner forever and ever and ever. You say, well, preacher, I didn't come to church. I thought I was going to come to church and listen about the love of God. I'm going to tell you about the love of God. God loved you so much to save your wretched neck out of that place called hell, and He did so by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that the high road has everything that we need. I want you to notice, first of all, it has a source. Number one, look at what it says in verse number 3. In verse 3 it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We've got a source. It is God's divine power that gives us everything that we need for life. Amen? I don't need Miller Low Life and Bud Light and all those things in order to try to have a good time. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ can give me a good time without beer and without a liquor and without dope and without all the sensual things of this world. I don't need those things to have a good time in life. Amen, preacher. I'm here to tell you today that the real life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I never have to worry about laying my head down on my pillow at night and regretting the life that I lived. You see, we have a source. It's called His divine power. That high road is all that I need. All that I need. It has a direction. Notice in verse number 3, there's the words, that pertaineth. That pertaineth. That's talking about the direction of my life. Everything that I need and the direction that I go, God is going to go ahead and take care of those things for me. If I will go ahead and say, you know what? I'm going to follow the Lord with all my heart. You say, oh no, what's going to happen in my life if I choose to follow the Lord? You might be blessed. Amen. It has direction. God's will never take you in the wrong direction. God's will never take you down a path of sin. God's will has a direction that pertaineth to life and godliness. That pertaineth. Christian, listen. The Bible tells us that God has got a path for us, and it pertains to that which is filled with life. It is filled with godly living. Why is it we've got this idea that the only way we can have fun is if it's sinful? That's so untrue. It has direction. It has a gate. Verse number 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through. Through. All of you came into the auditorium this morning, either through those double doors or the choir came through that door. Through means access. I didn't see anybody climbing through the windows this morning. Thank the Lord for that. Although if you wanted bad enough to get in here, I guess you could probably do that. But we need to understand that it says, through the knowledge of Him. You see, the high road has all that we need. Don't let the world try to convince you, I've got to have this in my life. I've got to have sinful living in my life. I've got to go ahead and act like the world and smell like the world and talk like the world and walk like the world in order to have fun. Listen, you do not. You do not. Matter of fact, the end result of all of those things is heartache and misery and sorrow and regret and trouble in your life. I want you to notice it says, through the knowledge of Him. It says in verse number 3, the knowledge of Him that hath called us. Peter is writing to Christians. And it says that He has called us. Two things. Glory. He has called us to glory. We think about glory, we think about heaven, but I don't think that's what it's talking about there. I remember a number of years ago when my one son was playing football. One game he scored 3 touchdowns, had 305 yards of rushing, and had 4 interceptions in one game. As I stood on the bleachers watching the game, you know what I said? That's my boy! That's my son! And I was proud about what he was doing. You know, God wants to look at you and I with pride. And He says, you know what? I redeemed them. I brought them out of the miry clay. I set them on a solid rock. I want them to live for me. Look at that child of God. They are living for me. They are putting God first in their life. You know what? That's my son that I have redeemed, and I am proud of them. That's what God wants to do for you. He has called us to glory. I wonder what God says about us. As the accuser of the brethren stands before God day and night and says, hey, you see so-and-so and look what they're doing. I wonder if the Lord says, that's my son. That's my daughter. I'm so proud of them because they're living for the Lord. I hope so. But not only that, but He has called us not only to glory, but He's also called us to virtue. It's interesting if you look up that word virtue. Fellas, wake up and smell the coffee, all right? The word virtue means manliness. Amen. I am so sick and tired of men looking like sissies and acting like them. Amen? Amen. Grow up and be a man. Amen? Amen. You know, do you all good to go out and get a pair of old boots on, a 4-wheel drive pickup truck, and a chainsaw in your hand, and go out there and massacre some trees out in the middle of the woods someplace. Just go ahead and be a man for a little bit. Boy. You know, some of these guys, I've been watching the Olympics, and what? Some of the guys that they interview, you don't know if it's a guy or a gal. And you know, God has called us to virtue. Manliness. That word virtue also is in reference to excellence. God has called us to be excellent Christians. Strong Christians. These represent the high road of life for the child of God. Look at verse 4. Not only does the high road have everything that we need, The high road of life also contains the promises of God. It contains the promises of God. In verse number 4 it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." You see, it contains the promises of God. And when we walk with God, God promises us certain things. He promises that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He promises us that we can have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. The high road contains the promises of God. We need to believe those promises. And not only do we need to believe those promises, but we need to live by those promises. One of the things that I've tried to do in my life, and although I've not been a perfect individual and I've done things and said things that I shouldn't have done, I'm here to tell you one of the things I've tried to do is I've tried to claim the promises of God in my life. I've tried to live by those promises. I've tried to trust God during difficult times, realizing that His way is always perfect. In Hebrews 11:6 it says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm here to tell you, number 2, the high road is filled with the promises of God. There's no better road than His road. I want you to notice, not only is it filled with the promises of God, but look at verse 5 through 8. We find here that Peter describes some things that we're to add to our faith. He says, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Look at verse 5. And besides this, besides being a partaker of the divine nature, verse 4, it says, give all diligence. That means give it all you got. You know, there was something about the 1960s and 1970s muscle cars. I'll tell you what, when you got behind a 442 Oldsmobile or you got behind a 429 Cobra jet engine in that Super Mustang, there's something about those things. There's something about that 426 Wedge Hemi that they put in those old Mopars. And you had the Hurst shifter on the floor, and you cranked that thing up, and you heard that car just a rumbling and a shaking, and you dumped the clutch on that, and you gave it all that it got. And boy, I tell you what, on the drag strip, she'd just take off like grease lightning down the strip. You know, there's something about those type of cars that I had to admire. The souped-up cars nowadays, they just seem like they're wound-up rubber bands, wound-up so tight they're ready to break at any time. But I'm here to tell you, we need to go ahead and have these Christian graces added to our life. It says, and besides this, give all diligence. In other words, give it all you got. It's interesting that these Christian graces, it starts with faith, it ends with love. The starting place in your Christian life is learning to trust God every day in your life. Trust God in your relationships. Trust God with your children. Trust God with your job. Trust God with your finances. Trust God with your future. He wants us to have faith in Him. His way is always best. And it ends with charity, a giving type of a love. Notice it says, with all diligence, where it's supposed to add. Add to your faith virtue. That's moral excellence. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance says, with God's help, I can control. And temperance, patience. Why is it that kids today want to have everything within 2 or 3 years that mom and dad and grandma and grandpa's worked 50 years to obtain. Amen? It doesn't make any difference how much they go in debt in order to secure it. I hope that all works out for you. 99 out of 100 times I've seen it doesn't. Patience, the patience, godliness. That word godliness means God-likeness. God-likeness. And godliness, brotherly kindness. That word brotherly kindness comes from one Greek word. It's the word Philadelphios, where we get the word Philadelphia from. And it means a city of brotherly love. We are to add that to our life. You know, marriages would probably be a lot better off if they would go ahead and treat one another with mutual respect and decency. Amen? Before you can have that real intimacy, there has to be mutual respect. Amen? And it goes on, it says, from brotherly kindness to charity. You see, the high road contains not only the promises of God, but the high road contains Christian graces. These need to be added to our salvation. And these Christian graces, according to verse number 8, tells us that as we add these things to our lives, it has a direct relationship to our fruitfulness in our Christian life. Look what it says in verse number 8. It says, "For if these things be in you and what? Abound." The word abound is in reference to boiling over. They need to be there. They need to superabound. "They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the high road is filled with Christian graces. And we are to add these things to our life. Once He pulls us out of the miry clay, Christian, don't go back into the low life of this world, into the low road of this world. Go ahead and take the higher plane, the higher walk. Live for God. Walk with Him. That's where the fruit's going to be. That's where the peace is going to be. That's where joy is going to be. The high road, verse number 8, will make us fruitful. In John chapter number 15, it talks about how God's desire for us is that we might bear fruit and our fruit might remain. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 9. "But he that lacketh these things is blind." Now, that word blind is an interesting word if you study that word blind out. It has the idea of having opaque vision. If a person has opaque vision, you can see images in light and dark, but you can't see clearly. It's like a person that has cataracts. Nelda just had surgery and she's not wearing her glasses anymore because she had cataracts removed. And when you have those removed, that gray fog that just covered everything is removed and now you can see clear. A person that does not add these things to their life, oh, they get saved, but they cannot see afar off. They're blind. They have no depth perception. You ever met a Christian that doesn't have any depth perception? It's all about here and now. I've got to have the biggest, the baddest, the greatest, and all those things for right here and right now to satisfy my ego and to go ahead and please my flesh right here and right now. Yeah, but what about 50 years from now? What are you laying up in store for you? What are you laying up for your family? What's more important, your brand new toy or seeing that your kids get underneath the preaching of the Word of God? And seeing them come to know Christ as their Savior. You see, many people never add these Christian graces to their life, and because of that, they don't have depth perception. They don't understand eternal things. All they can focus on is what is here and what is now. God help us. A number of years ago, there was a man that was walking around town. I can't remember what his name was. And he had a white cane. And he walked around Oak Harbor. And one day he got a seeing eye dog. And this seeing eye dog was leading him around. And one day the seeing eye dog was over next to the IGA Goodwill bins over there, which is next to the river. And the dog is there by himself barking. And that dog led him over to the edge of the river, and the blind man fell in. You know, it's a horrible thing not to have depth perception. It's a horrible thing to have a bad seeing eye dog, too. He got rid of the dog. Amen. But you know, when we don't have proper depth perception, we're going to fall. The high road will keep us from spiritual blindness. Look at verse number 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never, what? Fall. You'll never fall. If we will go ahead and receive Christ as our Savior, and we will add to our faith these Christian virtues, and we say, you know what, by the grace of God, I'm going to live for God. If we do those things, the Bible says we'll never fall. You see, the low road is filled with fallen marriages. It's filled with soiled reputations. It's filled with lack of confidence. It's filled with destroyed lives. But the high road will keep your marriage together. The high road will give you a good testimony in the world. The high road will give you peace of mind. The high road will give you confidence in life so that you can do everything that God has desired for you to do. When we get off the high road and we start walking the low road, we will lose many things. And one important thing that we should never lose in our Christian life is Christian confidence. If the Christian chooses the low road, he will stumble and he will fall and he will view himself as a fallen individual, an individual filled with failure and no hope and no victory. You remember this. The me that I see is the me that I be. You hear me? The me that I see is the me that I be. And if I view myself as someone that doesn't have victory in my life, and I view myself as someone who is not capable of victory and not capable of living for God, you will never live for God. Amen? We need to go ahead and understand the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, the Bible says. And so I need to view myself as a joint heir with Christ. I need to view myself as someone who has been forgiven. I need to view myself as a child of God. I need to view myself as seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Maybe we should start viewing ourselves as God sees us. You say, how does He see us? He sees us as a saint. Now, you might not live like one, but that's how He sees you. Amen? Instead of just a sinner saved by grace, and thank God we are. Look at verse 11 and I'll close. Verse 11 says this, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That day is coming. And the Bible says when these individuals who trust Christ as their Savior and they add to their faith virtue, moral excellence, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and so on and so forth. When they add all of those things to their life and they put those things in and they diligently, with all of their heart, walk the high road, the Bible says there's coming a day when we will be ministered to abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Savior. I am not laboring for what I can get out of this world. I've determined I'm going to labor for the Master. And one day, as He sees fit, He will bless and He will reward. Christian, if all you're doing is laboring for here and now and for the pleasantries of this life, you're going to miss out on so much in eternity. But if you will go ahead and labor for Him, and you will put Him first, and you will say, by the grace of God, I'm going to take the high road and I'm going to walk the higher life. He pulled me up out of the miry clay and He set my feet on a solid rock and I'm going to live for Him. I'm telling you what, when you get into eternity, you'll be glad that you did. I would encourage you this morning, if you're saved, take the high road. Its travelers may be few. The path may be hard. But it's a path that's filled with peace. It's filled with joy. It's the path that our Savior walks. We've started a brand new year, 2014. Can you believe that almost 2 months are gone already? This is the last Sunday in February. The question this morning is, which road are you going to travel? Which road are you going to travel? Say, I'm going to travel with the Lord. Then you better get on Salvation Express. You better go ahead and make sure that Christ is your Savior. For what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Number one, make sure that you're saved. Number two, if you're saved, you ought to say, by the grace of God, I'm not taking the easy way out. I'm not just going to slide through and get by as a Christian. I'm going to take the high road and live for Him. Let's bow our heads, please.